Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast. Hello.
Hi. We've got to get better at that.
We do, don't we? Good evening.
It's the evening, lads. Literally 8 o'clock. It's bang on 8 o'clock.
Hello from Ireland. Where this?
Hi. Where I'm not in Ireland.
I was saying hello to you from the motherland. Oh, my accent is going to be about 3 times stronger during this podcast.
People are like, who is this person on this podcast?
apologies, dear listeners. This podcast is late. We're late for a very important date. It's my fault. Got some fun stuff going on, hence being back here. But it's going to make a fun and interesting episode.
It's not fun. It's not fun stuff that you've. That sounded too sincere. Like the stuff you've got going on is not fun. Just to, you know, Hannah is not having a fun time. That's why we are late. Hannah is having a stressful time, and that's why it is late. But it does make for it. It's going to make for an interesting podcast.
My sarcasm. I need like a little sarcasm siren. Yes, because I don't have the book. I didn't bring the book home. I brought my mic, and I brought my headphones and everything. Brought the dog. He does not like fairies. We've learned that much. But yeah, don't have the book, so we're gonna have to change things up when it comes to when I talk about what I cooked. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
It's fine.
It's totally fine.
The important thing is you've cooked something.
That's true, and I'm here to talk about it.
Exactly.
Would you be willing to do like a monologue episode?
You know, I thought about this when we were going to be delayed, and I was like, can you imagine like how like it would be so boring, and I would just be laughing at my own jokes for probably about 3 hours. It would just be this, you know, I'd go off on my own tangents because I do that when I just monologue anyway. So it would be quite a ride.
I would listen to that all day long.
You'd have to try and cut it down.
I feel like we send each other mini monologues all day anyway on voice notes.
We are voice noters.
Oh yeah, big voice
messages. Hannah sent me a voice note the other day, which started with, "Oh, sorry, I've just managed to get outside, so it's the first time I've been able to send you a voice note because we've been like literally texting."
I was worried, you know, you've forgotten what I sounded like. It just rains so much in Galway, man. Honestly. Anyway, what's been going on with you? What you been seeing, liking, doing, watching?
Well, you know, lots of things. I'm going on holiday again tomorrow, so woo-hoo. I'll be back with my buffet content again for the next episode. But you know who I think has been absolutely killing it on Instagram recently, and I know that
not us.
No, sorry, lads.
Sorry, we try.
I'll be better.
Same.
I'm gonna do better this time. Anyway, I know that you think this person is also great on Instagram. Jake Cohen.
Yes.
No relation to Sandy, as far as I'm aware. That's an OC tip.
That's an OC reference for yeah. any, you know, fellow millennials.
But he is a cookbook author and chef. I don't know what his background is at all. But he released a book last year called Jew-ish. As in slightly
brilliant name.
Jewish. Brilliant name.
Or maybe I need one called Irish.
Yes. Oh my God.
No, be original, Hannah. Come up with your own.
What
content,
would be please. Your signature Irish, Irish? Is the Ire too close to, you know?
Yeah.
Bad vibes.
What would be my Irish dish? Obviously, like a chicken fillet roll. The signature
with potato salad.
No, I don't think many people put potatoes. They do like tomato lettuce. Like I used to have to make them in when I worked in a supermarket deli. And you ask the same questions every time. They're like, someone would come up and they'd be like, "Can I have a chicken fillet roll?" And you go, "Brown or white bread?" The same. And then you go, "Ketchup or mayo?" And then it'll be like, "Spicy chicken or plain?" Then it's like, "Lettuce and tomato."
Would you get spicy chicken or plain?
I would get spicy chicken. Come on.
Yeah.
Got some personality. But anyway, yeah, that book coming to you 2023.
Wow, you're working hard.
Can't even get a podcast out, but I can work on a cookbook.
I saw this is not anything to do with Jake Cohen, but just this whole conversation reminded me of a tweet that I saw on Helen Rosner, who is the New York, she writes for the New Yorker about food. I'm pretty sure the New Yorker. She's very, very good. She's on one of David Chang's Ugly Delicious, I think, when they possibly the umami one, when they eat Chinese food and around, this is irrelevant. Drink every time I say this is irrelevant in a podcast recently. But she retweeted this thing, or this tweet yesterday that just said, and I lost it. I was like, just looking at my lounge, and I was like laughing so hard. And it just said, "I love New York. Where else in the world can you get a sandwich?" That's all it said. It's not even. That is
the beauty of Twitter, right? Like, you know, a joke like that doesn't work in many other formats, yeah. But that is pretty good. R.I.P. Twitter.
R.I.P. Twitter. Maybe we should have talked about that. No, we shouldn't. Ugh. Jake Cohen, he's brilliant. That book is great. And he recently kind of went, viral maybe isn't the right word, but he's very popular for like he has an upside down apple and honey peach. Cake for peach.
It's not peach. Is that not what I brought down?
That's what I was going to say. You brought me the peach one, but I think in the book it's an apple cake because it's for Jewish New Year, which...
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Which is all apples and honey, right? And
yes.
He was doing it with all different fruits, and because it was summer...
Yeah, turning them all upside down. Bananas,
yeah, he did a banana
peaches.
One. Yeah. But generally, his Instagram, go follow him.
Jake Cohen, yeah.
he makes a recipe on like a reel and he puts the recipe in the comments. So it's all there. Yeah. Hannah made me his upside down peach cake for my birthday and it was so good. I love peaches.
It was so good because it was quite salty. Yes. That batter was quite salty. And I love that.
And you could really kind of taste it. Like this, not in a bad way, but like,
no.
And I love that.
Yeah. It's, I think his recipes are pretty solid. He has a lot of like, oh, he has this cornbread one, right? I think we're a bit obsessed with cornbread, but this jalapeno cheddar cornbread that looks amazing.
Which I saw and I was like, oh my God, I need to send it to Hannah. And then I noticed that she liked it. So
that's the story of our lives. Constantly see shit that the other person is like. Oh, I see that he's done a pumpkin spice latte cake. Oh, Jake, we'll forgive you.
I'll make it.
What are these garlic cacio e pepe bagel bites?
Oh my goodness.
Shut the front door. God, the man.
This is what made me want the book. He has an everything bagel galette. So a tomato galette. So it's exactly what you imagine. And then just, yeah, the pastry is sprinkled with everything bagel seasoning, which I love. How do you feel about everything bagel seasoning? I feel like you're about to say something controversial.
No, I'm not. I just, it's such a American thing, right? We don't get it that much here. So I want to re-experience that. I don't know if I've experienced enough of it. I've maybe had like one everything bagel in my life.
You know why I think it is? I think because you don't really get like onion granules here. You know, like that's in a lot of American recipes, or onion powder. You get like garlic powder, but I feel like onion...
Yeah, a little granules.
I'm doing like a little thing with my hand.
Yeah, no. I'm open to the everything bagel. I'm also intrigued by this caramelized onion and corn dip that he has on his Instagram. Cool. He's on TikTok too, right?
He must be. He must make all these videos for TikTok and then just put them on Instagram like everyone, you know.
For boomers like us. Yeah. Well, you're all over TikTok. The TikTok.
Yeah, but my algorithm just gives me, you know, things that I wouldn't buy again as a first-time mom. It's like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
My baby is almost one. Like, I don't need to know about your wipe warmer.
Oh, a wipe warmer.
Yeah, the very American thing. Hannah just did a sigh. Yeah, I feel like you didn't hear that. But her face is very funny. Anyway, Jake Cohen, I'm a big fan. I made these, just, you know, from that book, actually. He's got these, like chewy chocolate and cardamom cookies.
Yes.
And they're so chocolatey. There's an insane amount of chocolate in there. And cardamom, amazing. And I took them for something somewhere, I don't remember what, and they went down a real treat.
They sound great because the cardamom would cut through the chocolate, right, to make it not too sweet.
Yeah.
Can I just, off topic, give another shout out to Ed Kimber, who's,
I thought you were gonna say Ottolenghi, but yeah, you can. I think... who doesn't get enough credit? Yotam Ottolenghi.
A little known chef, don't know if you've ever heard of him. Bloody Ed Kimber is so good. I made that carrot cake again for my family and the neighbors because my little squirt of a dog kept running into their garden and barking at the birds in their trees. And so I was like, oh God, I better just bake them something and send like my niece over next door with it. And I made that carrot cake. And it's just so good. The brown butter in the icing, within the cream cheese icing, and there's like cardamom in the batter and it's oil. It's just bloody great. My sister Eris is like, does not really have much of a sweet tooth, and even she was just like throwing it into her body.
We should try and find that recipe online and we will put it up on our stories. Is it great?
Yes,
yeah, we'll save it.
I remove all the chocolate, so he does, it's, there's chocolate in there, I take it out. I don't, it's not that I don't think that it won't work, I trust him implicitly, but I just can't be arsed. So yeah,
have you ever made it with chocolate?
No. Chocolate really drives the cost up of a recipe. So
yeah, it does. Because also, especially when you're making it for someone else, you feel like you have to buy the best chocolate that you can.
Yeah, yeah. Lidl or Aldi are great for chocolate, though. I really rate them.
Yeah, but then still in a cost of living crisis.
Man, yeah. Anyway, wow. It's 12 minutes, Vic. 13 almost. We haven't even started to talk about
Yo, tell what to
Oh, God. Look, you know, the man could have 1,000 podcasts.
I just like to say you're incredibly influential in a number of ways. But saw my younger brother this weekend and he requested Shelf Love for Christmas.
Wow. I don't know if that has anything to do with me, but I think it might be to do with, you know, Arthur Lengi's massive PR budget. Not sure I can take credit for that one. We are here to talk about another inspiring female chef, as are all of them in this series. Wow, really eloquent. We're excited for this one because I feel like we've mentioned her a couple of times previously that we are big fans of her work. And she is one Georgina Hayden.
Hayden. I was just going to give a little tidbit into our behind the scenes of this podcast. And by that, I mean when Hannah and I text each other all day, every day. Georgina Hayden, I feel like we're big fans. We have been fans of her since our friendship began, and likely before, but we didn't know each other then, so I couldn't tell you. she's just wonderful. Her internet content. Why do I keep saying internet? Like I'm some kind of someone's mom. www.instagram.com/ She just seems so nice.
She does seem very nice and full of life, very vivacious, I would say. Vivacious is a fun word. I think that the moment that consolidated my love for her was when I saw about this recipe in Taverna, which I think is her second book. I mean, I'm the one who's meant to know about her for this podcast. But, yeah. And it was the barbecue peaches and halloumi thing, which I did then at my sister's house, and it's just like, I just thought that's a genius combination, and I feel like that's what's really interesting about all of her stuff, is it's like not crazy ingredients but combinations that make really good sense, like sweet and salty, and it's just a bit different. I feel like,
yes,
the chefs that we like the most are, you know, like the Eastas or whatever, who are doing interesting things but with everyday stuff, and Georgina Hayden is one of them.
Yeah, it doesn't feel inauthentic in that she's not just like, she's not wacky.
No.
You know, like some chefs are like just putting, you know, the end result is great, but they're putting all sorts of flavors together, which, you know, you could say that about Easter, but it obviously works really well. But Georgina, I feel like she has an MO, and it's like Mediterranean food, and not like Italian Mediterranean, but like, well, you're going to talk about her heritage, I'm sure. I just feel like it all just feels right. It just feels so right. She's
the one. It just feels right. If loving her is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Also, she sometimes does the cookbook section on Sunday Brunch, my favorite show to watch on a Sunday morning.
She's been, you know,
they would like to have us do the football show. That Sunday show, the cookbook show. I couldn't do a football show.
No. We'd do a great cookbook section, though. I'm not sure. I know what it's called or something like that yet, but you know. Patience is key. Anyway, shall I tell you a little bit about Georgina Hayden? Was that a yes?
I said, please. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Please tell me about Georgina Hayden.
Sorry, the Ireland internet must have blipped out at that point. So Georgina Hayden grew up in Tufnell Park in North London, and she grew up above her grandparents' Greek Cypriot taverna.
Hey.
So she was like exposed to great food from the get-go. Apparently, one of the first things that she did was like cook fairy cakes with her mum. And that's like a really fond memory for her. And she's tried to bring that into her, like bringing up her children as well. So she said that like they'd come home from school and make fairy cakes with green and red glacé cherries. Very 80s. And now she passes that on to her own girls. Mm. But when she got older, she started to learn to make more elaborate stuff, like stuffed vine leaves or this lemony soup that I can't quite pronounce and I would just butcher, but it's a Greek chicken, lemon and egg soup that you make when you're poorly. And so it seems like she got into kind of like food styling and recipes, developing and writing recipes for like TV and magazines, different campaigns and stuff like that. And then she joined, and this is the bit where Vic's eyes are going
to
roll
I
back.
I just remembered what you're about to say as you were saying this. And I'm interested to hear.
Well, she joined Jamie Oliver's food team where she worked for 12 years.
Who's Jamie Oliver?
No, don't know. Haven't heard of him. But she, yes, yeah, so she's there for 12 years. So I think, you know, she's often referred to as his protege, which I don't know. Sometimes protege can be like a slightly insulting term. But anyway.
Depends how much you want to be like Jamie Oliver, I guess.
Yeah, true. I think he did kind of, you know, I don't know, probably helped her. I haven't seen that anywhere, but probably helped her, like, you know, maybe get book deals or put her in touch with the right people. So, yeah, she speaks really fondly of him and says that he's just like the nicest man in the world and has done so much for her and blah, blah, blah. And then she has written 3 books. So she kind of went it alone. And her first book was Stirring Slowly, which looks really nice. I think that's just like a lot of like kind of comfort food. I've seen her talk about how she loves to like batch make porridge on a Sunday. And there's like a porridge recipe in the Stirring Slowly book. And then she wrote Taverna, which was her second book, which is the one I referred to. And then she's written this, Nistissima. She wrote that during lockdown, but it's just come out this year. Apparently she wrote this book, which is all vegan, because she kept getting asked when she was doing the publicity for Taverna. She was repeatedly asked if there was lots of vegetarian or vegan recipes in there, which there were, but it got her thinking about how people think of Greek and Cypriot food as really meat heavy, or like, I don't know, like kebabs and souvlaki and things like that, which it isn't, because of the heavy religion. Our band name of the week.
Heavy religion.
Because the religious backbone of those countries, there's loads of meals that are just like veg, lentils, pulses and stuff like that. So that's how she came up with the concept for this book, which is a celebration of the other recipes. And most often they're eaten during times of fasting. So she started writing down her own recipes and experiences, and she started reaching out to lots of priests, monks, religious friends and peers. I just don't know how she knew so many of these, but maybe that's like, I don't know, I respect to Georgina. And then she said the stories and messages that she received were really inspiring. She started in Greece and Cyprus, but then she expanded the scope to other countries with big Orthodox followings, such as Serbia, Syria, Ukraine, Lebanon. And then she talks about in the intro about the whys and hows of Orthodox fasting. And yeah, I just think it's a genius concept for a book. Like when we first got it, I was just like, why has nobody done this before? This is, and she talks a bit in the kind of, yeah, her, like all the interviews around this about how there's no like chicken replacements or fake cheese or anything like that. It's about new exciting dishes that actually just happen to use vegan ingredients. And like, it's just so good. And there's loads of sweet stuff in there. I just think, if I were vegan, I would be so happy that this book existed, because it's
because it's exciting, isn't it? Like it's not, I feel like it's not marketed as a vegan book. Like really, it's not like, oh, this is this new vegan book from Georgina Hayden. It's, yeah, like you say, a book that happens to be vegan and it has all these beautiful stories. And also you're like learning so much about, you know, Orthodox like fasting and how it works, and you know, there's all, like you said, there's all these stories from like various monks.
How many monks do you know, Vic?
Not as many as Georgina Hayden, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, and I just think that I think if you imagined a book about religious fasting, you'd have an idea in your head of what kind of food there would be. And if you had a book about vegan, I don't know, vegan food in the Mediterranean and other places, that have author vision, you'd also have another idea. But it's nothing like either of those ideas that you're thinking of. It is, like you say, it's so exciting. And, you know, like in Alice Zaslavsky's book,
yeah,
she would, it was vegetable based, but she would be like, add a chicken in here, or you could add chicken stock or schmaltz or whatever. Yeah, there's none of that here.
No, I don't think, kind of didn't realize it was vegan before we got it, did we? And then we were like leafing through being like, oh. But apparently she said as well, it was not difficult to find these recipes, and that the book could have easily been twice the size, which makes you just think, like, what is vegan? Like, not what is veganism, but like, why is it such a like moment now? And why haven't we kind of turned to this like really authentic stuff that people have been doing really well for centuries before, instead of just like trying to do like a fake, like, I don't know, cauliflower cheese or something.
Yeah, made out of like so much good stuff. Just chemicals. It's also not like a health food book, right? She says that in the intro, like, this isn't about a diet, like, you know, you're not going to, you know, I'm not here to help you lose weight or whatever, you know. And a lot of these recipes are like very rich, and she obviously uses a lot of olive oil. And
yes,
her one like controversial thing is like honey, right? She says, look, we use a lot of honey.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's vegan, use like a date syrup or something instead.
Yeah, agave or something. Yeah. It's going to be all on you to come up with the little, you know, excerpts from the book, by the way. I'll just listen really nicely while you talk about them.
Yeah, I just I love the bit, the intro, like where she, like you say, she talks about how the fasting works and Mount Athos. She talks about what times of the year that people in the Orthodox religion fast. And there's a lot. I thought, if you'd asked me, I knew Lent and like, you know, I know there's a different Easter tradition in the Orthodox Church and all that kind of stuff. I knew that that was a fasting time, but all these other days and like how some days you can eat meat, it's fascinating. I, you know, again, you don't need to know this, but I sat and read that whole beginning bit in the bath one night.
That hasn't been seen since the Molly Bowers incident of...
Yes, and I thought about that quite a lot. I was definitely a different shape. There's only one human in it, am I? I didn't drop it in.
And she's not talking about date night with Steve.
No, I'm not. My giant stomach. Anyway, I am not pregnant for this one. Yeah, and I flicked through it and I was like, oh, there's, I, you know, tagged so many pages that I was excited about.
I feel like this is my cookbook catnip, is learning about like a whole, you know, there's so, I'm doing a weird connecty thing with my fingers. There's like learning about a whole kind of culture or something that you didn't know about, and the great food. Like that's just the best thing. Like, and because how many fucking Italian cookbooks are there? Like, we don't need any more. Yes. But like stuff like this is just so interesting and actually really useful, as we all try to,
like, Advent. I thought that was another one where like it's just fascinating. Yes. Interesting traditional things.
Yeah we need to do more, like, because didn't I email you a list of the most exciting cookbooks of the year or something from that Nick Miller email list, Nick Miller and the Topographic Kitchen, which is a great email newsletter to sign up to. And so many of hers were like great, like cookbooks from like different African countries and like South America and stuff like that. And I think they would be really interesting to do.
There was like a whole pierogi cookbook, wasn't there? Was it Tala or Taka? It was like an Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe. I'm here for it now. So yeah, maybe that's next season, niche, regional, you know, or event cookbooks.
Yes, just to coincide with the launch of Irish.
Yeah,
the
Irish.
Chicken fillet baguette encyclopedia.
What else would be in there, like?
The breakfast roll.
Would it be a whole sandwich book?
No, there would be just like a section for the super, you know, the petrol station deli, which is the cornerstone of Irish cuisine.
Very similar to Tim Anderson's new book, Bowls and Bento, which was supposed to be called, he said that he wanted to call it Your At Home Konbini, which is like the Japanese corner shop. So it's the same.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Anyway, shall we talk about what we cooked?
Yes.
Looking at you.
Looking at me. So just remember, Hannah does not have the book. So when we get to her recipes, I'm talking you through them.
No, what we're going to do is I'm going to say what I cooked, and then I'm going to try to remember the ingredients and the method, and Vicky's going to give me points for each step that I get right.
It's like a game show. It's great.
Yeah.
I play this with Stephen when the football is on. I get up a list of the team. He's a Man United supporter, and I tell him he has to guess the team. I'm not going to tell him.
That's fun.
Yeah. You'll be unsurprised to know he always gets it right.
Yeah, because he fucking knows everything.
Love you, anyway. Steve. Right, I made two things. I bought the stuff to make three things, but the third thing, I just did never have time. I did never have time.
I do solemnly swear that I did never have time.
It was one of those things that I thought was a good idea at the time, and then I realized it was like a 2-hour recipe, and I don't have 2 hours to make a recipe in the day, really. That, you know, a recipe that anyway, this is relevant because this is relevant drink. So the first thing I made was the Prebranak. I'm gonna butcher the things. Caramelized onion baked beans, a classic of Serbian cuisine.
Oh yes.
Hmm.
I said, oh yes.
Yeah. Did you make these as well?
I made these too.
I'm worried that we might have made the other thing that was the same as well. No, we won't have. We won't have.
No, we won't thing have. That I no, made. No.
Okay.
This is great. This is a really interesting recipe. And, you know, as we know, I love beans. That's all I talked about on the most recent Patreon episode.
Yeah. We both beans love beans. Well, you love beans and I love caramelized onions. And I love a caramelized onion recipe because I like to tear down how long people say you should cook your caramelized onions for until they are caramelized.
Does she get it right? Georgina gets it right, right?
She says 30 minutes.
Yeah, still no, right?
So, this is great. So, Hannah's, do you want to guess the ingredients?
My master plan has worked out really well. I just don't have to talk about mine now. Guess the ingredients. Was it 3 onions?
It was 6 onions.
Maybe I halved mine.
It is a massive recipe.
It is. I took it for lunch for a couple of days, actually. It was great. There's butter beans, right?
Yes.
2 tins? 4 tins.
4. You must have halved it. Yeah. 4 tins or 500 grams of dry. And then she has a whole section about if you're cooking them from dry, but obviously neither of us did that.
No, never do. Never have, never will. Smoked paprika is in it too, isn't it? Or sweet paprika.
Sweet paprika, yeah.
I think I use smoked. Anyway.
I think I did as well, to be honest.
What else is in there?
There's 8 garlic cloves in there.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Hannah used 4.
Welcome to
that. That's it.
Hannah and
sea salt and pepper, and not sea pepper, but just normal black pepper.
I feel like sea pepper is some like bullshit like vegetable that like some Michelin star chef will start like foraging.
Yeah, like sea buckthorn or whatever that thing is. That's like very. And then parsley to serve. She also has a bay leaf in there, but that is if you're doing your butter beans from dry.
Yes.
That's a Nigella thing. She cooks her dry beans with a bay leaf and an onion. She? But Georgina, anyway, this is irrelevant. Well, it's not irrelevant at all.
No.
It is a case of, so you've got 6 onions, you put the oven on to 180 degrees fan, and then she calls it a flame-proof casserole. Did you notice?
Yes, which made me think of Julia Child.
Yeah.
Oh, fond memories. Did you see that the original Julie from... No, Julia.
Yes.
No, the original Julie from Julie and Julia, who wrote the book, died, which was really sad. She was quite young.
Yeah, I think she... From all accounts, I think that I read that she's quite troubled.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Yeah. Anyway,
and Aaron Carter, what a sad, I mean, he's nothing to do with food, but what a sad week.
Yeah, it's always jarring when someone's the same age as you, isn't it? That really got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't have quite the same childhood.
No. I have a lot less facial tattoos than Aaron Carter does. Did.
Just my two black teeth. I don't talk about that time in my life.
That's why we don't put our faces on the internet. Because Anna spent some time in a, you know, tough Galway prison.
For crimes against chicken fillet rolls.
Anyway, this is going well. So, you chop your onions, you put your onions in your flame-proof casserole, and you caramelize them. She says, saute the onions slowly over a medium-low heat for about 30 minutes until golden and sticky. I don't think that's enough time on a medium to low heat, but maybe if you have a gas oven, it just depends, doesn't it? A gas hob. She suggests if the onions start to catch even a little, add a splash of water.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
that little tap?
You do?
I don't know, because mine released quite a lot of water, so I didn't really ever feel the need for that. But I thought that was interesting. I think that happens if you try to rush it, though, doesn't it? The caramelizing.
Yeah.
Vic is nodding sagely. As an experienced onion caramelizer, she knows.
But I, you know, I don't mind the odd little, you know, crispy edge. That's because I'm rough and ready, you know?
It's true.
Rough around the edges, that's what they call me.
Down to earth gal.
I'm a beach gal. I also, you when you when you get your beans, you have to drain your beans from the tin. You have to save the tin water.
Yeah.
Yeah, liquid.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like that, like, soupy bean liquid. Makes me feel a bit funny.
Did you not save it?
I did. No, I actually, do you know what? I think I did one beany soupy liquid, one regular water. Because I just don't like it. It creeps me out.
Yeah. So, you've got your onions. They're caramelizing. For the last 10 minutes, you add your garlic, your 8 garlic cloves, and your paprika, tablespoon of sweet paprika in. Boom, boom, shake the room. They go in lovely colour.
Yeah, I like paprika a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Good name for a cat.
Oh, it is a good name for a cat. Or a bird. Like a bird called paprika would be great. Oh my God. This recipe is so simple, and we've been talking about it for like 20 minutes. And we're not even, it's not even in the oven yet.
Yeah, so I didn't read the bit about the oven. I was just going
to. What do you mean?
I was.
You're just going to mix your beans steps. In?
Yeah, I'm just going to mix my beans in. I thought it was going to reduce down on the hob.
Got you, okay.
But it reduces in the oven for a very long time.
Yes, a really long time. She says an hour to an hour and a half. It took mine closer to like 2.
Oh shit, did it? I think I got impatient and I was a bit worried about my gas bill.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, so basically you put your, once your onions are done, you put your beans into your flame-proof casserole along with 750 mils of the bean juice. So that's the cooking liquid if you did your beans from dry, or the tin juice if you did it.
Stop saying juice.
Why? Tin juice. That's my band name.
Sounds like tin juice.
And then that's it. You literally, season it, which I forgot to do. And so I remembered that I forgot to do it like halfway through, like 45 minutes in. I was like, fuck, like ran down and tried to like stir some salt and pepper through. Idiot. Shit. But it's fine. And you literally just leave it so there. She says they should be, the end result should be golden on top with soft and oozy beans underneath. Remove the casserole from the oven, set aside, let the beans cool. She says you can have them warm or at room temperature. You can put the parsley on top and she says serve with crusty bread. And they're even better reheated the next day or the day after.
Which I agree with.
Me too. They were great. I liked them a lot. There was too much. I should have halved it like you did.
Yeah. No, I liked it a lot. I did my other thing, one of my other things at the same time while the oven was on, kind of a thing. I feel like something that you should do whilst you've got some other things going on in the oven. Times are tough, you know? Can't be just having the oven on for one pot of beans. You've got to get the maximum. You throw everything in there.
Even though they are a giant tin of beans, like 400 gram tins of butter beans. That's a lot of beans.
I thought that maybe it would be nice. They were delicious on their own. I thought it would be nice if you, obviously it's not vegan, but if you like sprinkled some like feta over or like maybe even like a fried egg on top.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
I don't think she's allowed to make those suggestions.
No suggestions.
So we'll do it for you.
I thought the same about maybe some like pancetta in with the onions to mix through. Or I guess on that same note, like a bacon on top or something.
Yes. But I like them a lot. I think I would make them again, especially since they're quite cheap to make, but quite really full of flavour. I like them a lot.
The day I made them for dinner, we had like a Mexican thing, fajitas or something. And we had them with that and they were like, were perfect for that. And they were really nice.
That worked well.
I thought they were nicer warm than they were room temperature. I tried them both and I didn't love them room temperature, but they definitely were better the next day.
Did you ever watch the Dennis the Menace film?
Wow. I did not watch the Dennis the Menace film.
But it's where he's a boy. It's not like animated. It's like a real
thing. It's live action.
Dennis the Menace. And he meets this man under a bridge. And that man is eating cold baked beans from a tin. And that has never left me. I found it the most disturbing thing ever.
Wow. Why? Do you know who eats cold beans from the tin? And so it's a big part of my life.
Stephen Durant.
My mum.
Oh, no way.
She does not like hot baked beans.
Wow.
And so if she was ever making beans for us to go with dinner, she would, you know, scoop a couple of spoonfuls off the top. Loves them cold, will not touch them warm.
Wow.
I know.
Wild.
Maybe she watched the Dennis the Menace film and got the idea. I'll ask her.
I feel like that was one of those films. Did you have that? Like when you were growing up, you had like a few films on video and so you ended up watching it loads and loads and loads. That was one I think that was one of my neighbor's ones. But anyway, yeah, let us know, listeners, if you listen to cold, or if you listen to cold baked beans, if you eat baked beans cold from the tin. I want to understand why. Anyway, what's the next thing you made?
Yeah, so just here's my disclaimer. She says in this that you could make them with the peppers on page 116, which is what I was going to make them with.
Right.
Did you make the peppers?
No.
No, okay. And they're like, again, these like slowly cooked peppers. Yeah, they look lovely. They're called like, I think they're also Serbian, and they're called like bachelor peppers or something. That's the translation. Slow cooked peppers. Oh yeah, bekar, which is the word for bachelor in northern Serbia. And they just look really nice, like just slowly cooked, like but on the hob again, but for a long, long time. Yeah, 1.5 or 2 hours. And again, I just didn't, like the oven can do the work, but on the hob, I need to be watching it. And I just didn't have the time to make them, but I would make them. And they would have gone really nicely, I think, with those.
Yes.
The second thing I made was the, wish me luck here, the colocythopita, the pumpkin and raisin pie with harissa.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I even saw that.
Yeah, it's this one. It's a like a phyllo pie.
Yes. Oh, my God. How was that?
It was great. I mean, there's dill in it, but that's why I knew that you wouldn't have made it. But yeah, it was really good. You know, I love a pumpkin. You know, better than your pumpkin pie, I think, of. And you know, the reason I made it actually is because she put it on her Instagram just in the time that she was cooking it on her Instagram at some point during the time that we were making this. And I was like, that looks really good. And I would have passed this by because it looks difficult. You know me. I like to phone it in.
Not true.
But it... Rude.
Is that not true?
Oh, I thought you said true. I just said true. I was like, fucking up. Wow.
I hope Hannah doesn't hold back.
You roast 800 grams of pumpkin or butternut squash. I use butternut squash. You peel it, obviously, chop it into 2 centimeter pieces, and you put that in the oven for half an hour with oil, salt, pepper, cinnamon, and harissa paste and sugar.
Oh, so it's kind of sweet. And
you
spicy. Just,
so you put it on quite high. It's at like 220 for half an hour. So with this one, she wants it to catch because you've got like the sugar one. So it like catches at the edges, but it's like cooked and soft. It's really nice. That and you leave it to cool and then you pop it in a bowl and add bulgur wheat, 40 grams, so not that much at all, 50 grams of sultanas or raisins, spring onions, and dill, chopped spring onions and chopped dill.
Right.
Mix everything together. Like, don't mash it smooth, but kind of just mash it as it goes because it's...
Yeah, so it still has a bit of texture.
Yeah. And then you get, when you're ready to bake, you've got phyllo pastry, which she goes for dairy-free, but most that you can get here is anyway.
Yeah.
It's like puff pastry. And you lay a sheet of phyllo pastry out, and then you put some olive oil on it and then lay another one out on top of that, a little bit more oil. And then you put a third of the mixture in like a long line. She says about 4 centimeters from the bottom, the pumpkin mixture. And then you roll it up like a cigar.
How fun.
Oil it. And then you twist it into like a twist, like a tight coil. And that's the middle of your pie.
Right.
And then you do that twice more. And then so it makes like a twirly pie.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then you oil on the top in the oven, a little bit of salt as well, in the oven until crisp and deep golden brown. And whilst it's in the oven, you make like a garlic oil for the top.
Ooh, yes.
A garlic oil with harissa. So you crush, I think it's just one garlic clove, some oil. So heat the oil up. Then throw the kind of garlic clove in there, you know, so not so it burns. But she says to leave the skin on the garlic clove. Pop it in there and then take it off the heat and add your like tablespoon of harissa. So that kind of just like bubbles away. And then once it's on, you discard the garlic and then drizzle it over your pie with the last bit of dill. And it's like a swirly pie. And I made this we had like a little mini Halloween party at Stephen's family's house with Stephen's family for like some of the little ones. And I'd started making it. I was like, I'm going to take it and make it there. And it went down a storm.
Really?
Yeah. So, you wouldn't believe it was vegan.
Yeah, I'll bet. And it's a nice balance of like not too sweet. I guess when you hear like pumpkin and raisin, you think, and maybe cinnamon, you think it's going to be quite sweet.
Yeah, not at all. Like it's definitely got, like it's got that sweetness to it.
Yeah.
But it's not overpowering. It doesn't, you know, because I don't love raisins in things, like in savory foods. I feel like a lot of Moroccan food I will like stay away from because it's just not for me. But it's so few, it's only 50 grams of raisins in that whole thing with 800 grams of butternut squash. So it's actually minimal, but it's got that nice little bite, which I think is what you need, right? So you've got like the crispy phyllo, the razors, and then you've got the dill in there, which kind of cuts through it.
Yum.
And yes, cinnamon. It's just really, it's a really lovely like autumnal thing. And it's like, I cut it. It looks beautiful as well because it's like a coil.
Coil, yeah, and all flaky.
And who doesn't love phyllo pastry? But I feel like you don't cook with it that much.
It is great.
Would absolutely make it again. Because it was easy. Once I knew what to do, it was easy.
Yeah.
And you could maybe make it without the dill. You put like parsley in there or something, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yum.
Yeah. Loved it.
That sounds great. I'd like to make that now.
I baked it in my cast iron pan, mostly for aesthetics, but also I feel like it helped the bottom crisp up. She says to cook it in, bake it in a springform cake tin.
Ah, that is handy.
Yeah.
So you don't have any sticking issues.
Exactly.
Was it easy to get phyllo?
Yeah, I found it in big Sainsbury's fairly easily in the like refrigerated section.
Nice. Amazing. That sounds great.
Yeah. What did you make? Oh, I just put the book to one side and I was like, I need the book.
you're my PA for this episode. I made
just this one.
The what?
just this one.
shut up and get my lunch. I made these little caramelized onion butter beans. I don't know if you heard about them. No, I don't really have anything to add on them. I thought they were great as well, and just like a really nice, comforting, wintry kind of dish and a good little lunch thing as well. I feel like I talk about batch making a lot of things and bringing it for my lunch, but I do look, people do that, so it's important.
You spent quite a lot of time in the office over the last few weeks, haven't you? Before you were in Ireland, so you needed lunch.
I do need a lunch. The canteen is not going to cut it. The second thing I made were these olive rolls.
Olive rolls, okay.
Olive parsley and something rolls. They're right before the za'atar, or after the za'atar rolls.
Olive, mint, and coriander buns.
Olive, mint, and coriander buns. That's the one. Get this
I
woman
just
a raise.
The index there. On page 42 for any listeners reading along with us.
I
didn't see these.
Yes. So at the end of the last episode, I think you mentioned the za'atar rolls or buns that had a kind of moment on Instagram, and I was very tempted to make them, but it was a Sunday morning and bloody supermarket didn't open till
how fitting
really...
for this book.
I don't know if supermarkets in Crystal Palace aren't opening till midday because they're worshipping anyone, or if they're just like been out the night before. And I couldn't get in. I had a bit of za'atar, but not enough. So I was like, oh, I'll just make these olive ones. And as you saw when you came to visit, there is a couple of like Greek delis there. So I was able to get these really beautiful black olives in a jar. She says to use pitted ones, but these had stones, but it wasn't that many that I could just like pit them myself. Yeah, I was just really excited by these. I love any bread with olives. Olives are kind of a bit of an addiction of mine, and I always get them on pizza. But so this recipe, I think the ingredients were...
I was going to say, let's say ingredient bingo.
Strong flour or regular flour?
So 175 grams of pitted black olives, 500 grams bread flour.
Yeah. Yeast, a sachet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mint, coriander. She says like a bunch or something, or half a bunch, which
half
is kind
a bunch,
of like vague. Don't know what that means. Just eyeballed it.
Like, do you mean a bunch from like co-op that's like tiny, or like a bunch from the know when you go to the Asian supermarket and it's like a
flower
bouquet.
Salt. Can't remember what else goes in there.
Yeah, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt and 100 mils of olive oil.
Yeah,
and some sugar.
Yes,
and two onions.
Oh, yes, the onions. I forgot about the onions. I'd forgot about the onions at the time as well. I think they were like the last thing to go in. So, it was a couple of weeks back now, but I'm going to guess that you mix like the yeast and the sugar or something. Did you do it in the water first and then you put it into the flour? Yeah.
Yeah.
Vic is nodding.
I'm scanning this recipe as you're saying it. Like,
And then you knead it for a bit before you add in, I think, the fillings.
and then it rises as one until it's doubled in size, which I thought it's a lot of filling. So there's a lot of olives and they're heavy, right? So I thought, like, there's no way this is going to double in an hour with just like one sachet of yeast because it's going to be quite heavy. But actually it did. Like, it was, the recipe was pretty true to true to itself.
I guess when you're making it in like Greece or Cyprus, it's pretty warm.
So
they rise pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But then once it's done its first rise, you knock it back. Then you knock the yeast back. And then you have to work them into buns or into row kind of. And I just felt like there was not much guidance on what that shape should be. So I kind of like, you know, divided them into however many. Was it like, I think it's 12 it makes or something.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like trying to shape them into like a, you know, a spherical kind of bun shape on the countertop.
Like a bread roll.
Yeah, but she didn't really say, so I would have liked a little bit more guidance on that, Georgina, and maybe, you know, you can let us know what your idea would have been. It was quite, they were quite hard to shape because they had so much. It was like, you know, well over half of it was like the fillings.
Wow.
So kind of plop, and it's quite a wet dough, but anyway, they were fine. And I kind of shaped them. They were a little bit messy. And then I put them on like two different baking trays and then they rise again. I think they, like, you have to leave them for like another hour to double in size. And that's it. They were quite like misshapen by the time that they were going in the oven. But I think I put them in around the same time as my beans were baking. So it was quite handy that you could have like the two of them in at once. And they, I think they baked for about 20 minutes, is it?
Yeah, 20 to 25, she says.
Yeah. And they smelled so good.
Put your oven on, she says, full whack.
That's
and then
right.
When the buns go in, turn it down to 200.
Yes. And I put them in and I put the beans in a bit later. But yeah, they smelled so delicious. It was just like I said, this isn't just a bread roll dotted with a couple of flavorings. Like, these are full on like chunky, like got lots going on. And when they come out of the oven and when you eat them, like, the dough, I think it's quite a high hydration. It was really soft, like really, really soft, bready. Oh my God. Because there's olive oil in there, you get like a hint of that as well. They were so delicious. My lovely neighbor, Sim, had looked after my dog a couple of nights previously, and she's vegan. And whenever I've been like giving stuff out around my building because I've cooked too much from the podcast, she's always like, is it vegan? So this time I was like, I'm just going to message her privately and be like, any chance you're home? And like, she came and picked up this like bag of like 10 warm olive rolls. She was so excited. But they were delicious. They were so,
amazing.
So good.
It sounds
really
so good.
Them. Yeah, I like
them
a lot.
There's not a picture for these, by the way, which is why I didn't notice them.
and that's why I didn't really know how to shape them. It was just like really hard. But, you know, whatever. It didn't really matter how they were shaped. They were just bloody delicious. So,
love this.
Yeah.
I love this. I want to make them.
Yeah, I would really recommend. I'm like probably way easier in a mixer as well, right? And then the last thing I made was a very quick, simple little thing, but it was the sweet and sour leeks.
Oh, I remember seeing this when we first got, when we first got them. Let me find that. And I think also I've seen them on her Instagram.
She actually published these on The Guardian like years ago, I think, because I wanted to make them for my sister whilst I was at home here as well, and found them on there. And I think it's pretty much the same recipe. I think is it three or four leeks that she uses?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, and you just chop up, basically, like slice them up and you rinse them under water. And then there's a couple of cloves of garlic, two or three, can't remember.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you start with there's quite a bit of olive oil. So you warm the olive oil, you put your chopped up garlic cloves in the oil and you heat that for like a minute. Obviously it can burn quite quickly, which I did it the second time, nearly burned them. And then you put like a spoon of caster sugar in.
Yeah.
This is important because it does, you do actually really taste that sugar later on, and it counters really nicely with the sour, which is lemon juice. So you put your oil, your garlic, and then you put your sugar in, and then you cook the garlic for a couple of minutes more, and then you put in your leeks. And I think you cook them for a few minutes to kind of fry them off. And then you add in like 75 mils of water, I think. And then you let that cook for like half an hour
until, again, I think she says until like they're nice and sticky and like basically, I think you have the lid on when you're cooking it with the water, yeah, and then you take the lid off for the last few minutes to try and evaporate the rest of that water. And then at the end, when it's like all cooked, you just squeeze in the juice of a whole lemon or half a lemon. I can't remember.
A whole lemon, yeah.
A whole lemon. And is there herbs? I think is there thyme or something? An oregano or...
Oregano, just oregano.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. But they're all like, so they don't look great. They sound great. Right? They're all kind of like stewed down and like really soft. But they're so good. The sugar, just that sugar and the lemon at the end just make them really interesting. Like it's just, I think like you would just end up cooking your leeks like this all the time. I made some halloumi. I fried off some halloumi and ooh, I just had them, the leeks and the halloumi on top with like some flatbread or something. And it was just a great meal. And then, yeah, I made them for my sister the other night as well. And she really liked them too. They're just great. Yeah. Just love it.
It's great. This book is great for like lots of different things to make up a lovely meal.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if you were hosting or something.
Yeah.
And you had a vegan person, you could make everything from this book and everyone would enjoy it.
Yeah. It's just great. And there were loads of things that I wanted to make, none of which I can remember now. And the desserts, I was really intrigued by. There's some like great, because I always struggle a little bit around vegan desserts, but there was some in there that looked really good.
Yeah, let me refresh your memory before we do that. While I'm finding them, it was all of the pies. Like there's like a greens pie, there's the mushroom, potato and cumin breccias,
which looked
amazing.
Like, yeah.
And then the spiced onion oil, did you see that?
No,
it was just just like an oil, just looks so good. Also there's a whole drinks section which I love, and preserves and drinks.
That's great.
Christmas barley pudding is on the pudding. Oh, what are they? They look great. Are these shiamishis?
Ooh, what
fried orange blossom custard pies.
Oh yes, I have seen them on Instagram. I think they look so good.
They look amazing. Roasted cherry and tarragon hand pies.
Oh yes, I saw them. They look really, really good. Ooh. Great for summer.
Yeah, a lot of pistachios in the sweets and rose. She likes a bit of rose, doesn't she? It's not my favorite flavor.
No, but it's a very, I guess, very kind of Middle Eastern, Mediterranean thing.
Or halva. Oh. How do you feel about halva?
I love halva because it says it's tahini, isn't it?
Yeah.
I basically always have some in my cupboard and it's like my little like sweet hit. It's so sweet though. It would like, your teeth would fall out. Yeah, no, I'm upset. I love halva. I saw that someone made halva buckeyes. You know those buckeye little candies that they make in America, which they look like, I think they usually make them with maybe peanut butter and it's like a ball and then it's like half dipped in chocolate.
Yes, yeah.
But someone did it with halva. I saw that on Instagram and I was like, that's smart. Basically peanut butter and tahini and halva are like interchangeable.
Yeah, she's got tahini, almond and honey cookies, which sounds well up your street. Oh,
yes, 100%. I was quite tempted to make them actually. Yeah, you can just guess all the things that I wanted to make.
Yeah. The lost and found cake of Saint Fanarios.
Wow.
Oh, okay, so it's like a... Oh, I read about this, like a cake that you, if you need to find something, you make it. Like, I just love all these little, like, stories and mythologies. And, like, she went out there, right, to Mount Athos and or various other places to speak to the monks and talk about that. And she, like, interweaves these lovely stories. And it's just so nice.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. It's just really special. Quite like
it. Yeah. It just also won, like, best new cookbook, right, at the Observer Food Month Awards, which, just what an achievement for a book about religion kind of and fasting and it's vegan and for, and that's like voted by the public, like
is incredible.
It's amazing, like it absolutely deserved, but I'm just glad that she's getting the recognition. For it, because
she looked so thrilled with that as well. Like she kept posting on Instagram about it and she just looked gassed, as the kids say. I've really learned that this is a new phrase that I'm not.
She looks gassed.
Yeah, gassed. I was so gassed.
The thing that I would like to make most of hers, and this isn't in this book, but it is something that's like fascinated me for ages, because in addition to Georgina Hayden, who is obviously a very close friend of mine, I have a Greek Cypriot friend, very good friend. Ah. And she also loves Georgina Hayden. You know, they get each other. So shout out to Ritza. But around Easter time, there's, my Instagram isn't loading, annoying. So around Orthodox Easter time, there's these like halloumi buns. Oh. I think they're called flauners. I don't know how to say it. F-L-A-O-U-N-E-S. And my friend Ritza makes them, and Georgina Hayden has a recipe for them, and they're quite involved. It's a lot of like, it's like they're halloumi and you have to grate it, and there's like a dough, and but the finished product just looks so great.
Oh, that sounds so good. Even though we know my feelings aren't great at halloumi, but you know, I'm willing to make an exception.
But they look out for it around Easter time. Like, oh, she, and I always want to think, oh, I'm going to make it this year. Anyway, so I just wanted to give a shout out to those because, you know, maybe I'll hold myself accountable. Accountable? Accountable.
Accountable.
Accountable. I'm accountable for that. Shall we rate?
Let's rate.
Shall I just quickly talk about our rating system?
Just quickly. Just give us a quick rundown.
So I'm not going to do an American accent.
No, we do that too much, and I'm so sorry.
So we rate every book, every episode. We rate
every episode.
You have to listen to why we rate out of 5 criteria. Mm-hmm. Criteria say the same. Things that we mark the book out of change every time. So the 5 things are, before we tell you what we're going to rate Nystismia out of, usability and accessibility, that's one. Ingredients used, are they easy to find, etc. Aesthetics, are the pictures good?
Basically.
More and more, that's the Victoria one. And that's followed by 4, which is it veggie friendly, which is the Hannah one. And then finally, is it inspirable? Inspirability.
Inspired. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag inspired. You are my inspiration. I am obsessed. I really think obsessed has to be one of the most overused words of 2022. I'm literally obsessed with you.
I'm obsessed with that.
It's also something you're not that obsessed with either. Yeah. Like, it's something really random, like clouds or something. I am obsessed.
Yeah. Or like a shitty TV show. Like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with those boots. I feel like that's what people say.
Yeah.
We could not read this book and not rate out of monks because they are everywhere.
It's a little hidden monk on every page.
Yeah.
A little name some famous monks. Friar Tuck's the only one really, isn't he?
Monkfish. Mung bean.
There's a really famous Irish criminal called the Monk as well.
Bob Monkhouse. That's someone, right? Is it someone? He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian. None of them actual monks, but you know.
Look, I get all my monk information from Nystismia. So I know about the Mount Athos monks and no others.
You need to go on Monkpedia.
Monkpedia.
Wow, I'm so sorry. Anyway, shall I rate? And shut up. Hannah,
shut up and rate.
Usability and accessibility, I'm giving it 1. Ingredients used.
Just make a little sound.
Victoria has been replaced by her like less than 1-year-old child who's going to and everything.
You love to see it.
Usability and accessibility, that's 1 point from me. Ingredients used. Yeah, I think I could maybe. No, I'm giving it 1 point. I didn't struggle with anything. It was hard to find the za'atar, but that's because nothing was open.
Was it hard to find?
The Zartar. But it's hard to find, you know, anything when shops are literally shut. Aesthetics. Yeah. It's not my favourite, like, prettiest book ever, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to give it a half there. But okay. Anyway. Vegetarian, veggie friendly, it would be really cruel if I give it nothing when it literally has, like, not even mention of an animal product
too
in
vegan.
There. Yeah. So that's one. And inspirability, I'm absolutely giving it one. I found it very, very exciting and interesting and made me want to cook all of the things. I just think it's great for, like, you know, more and more you have people coming round or you need to bake stuff that is, you know, vegan friendly because those guys are multiplying. So it's a cookbook for the modern age.
I would say so. And also, sometimes you just don't know whether people are vegan or not when you go to a thing.
Shouldn't we make them wear a bell? I've made that joke before. I'm pretty sure I've made that joke before. Old material only.
Cool.
Sorry. No, it's only... That's nothing against the vegans. I love them.
Oh, excuse me.
Vic's allergic, on the other hand.
I'm allergic to Hannah's shit jokes.
You wench. Anyway, come on, tell us about your rating there. Sneezing.
Come on, tell us. Usability and accessibility. My accessibility.
We're scrapping US accents. We're going for Kiwi. Accessibility.
Maybe you and your siblings could write a cookbook and call it Accessibility. Come on, Hannah has three sisters. That's funny.
That's a bad joke. Anyway, okay.
Aren't you?
We actually are. We're all half Scottish, yeah. Wow.
So, it gets one mark for accessibility and usability. Ingredients used. I'm taking half a point off for ingredients because there was a couple of things. The spiced onion oil, which was the thing I really wanted to make. It had like baharat, which was like a za'atar style, like mix of spices. And I could not find it in the two supermarkets I have near my house. I was annoyed and I really would have liked to have made that. So then there was a couple of other things and I was like, oh, I'm sad that, and especially I think with some of the sweet stuff, like stuff with roses, you know, that's hard to find.
That's fair. Yeah.
So that's coming off. I'm giving it one for aesthetics because I liked it. I thought it was really, all the things I cooked, the two things I cooked, you know, they looked like the pictures. So I'm happy about that. And veggie friendly, obviously, that gets one monk. And then inspirability, another monk. Because go back to it for sure. So four and a half monks.
Which half of the monk are you disposing of? Bottom half, top half? Or is just,
I imagine the bottom half because then they couldn't cook for me if I disposed of the top half.
Can't really see the bottom half anyway. Their little brown tunics. What?
They could be two monks in there, like in Bojack Horseman, inside a tunic. Like two child monks inside a tunic.
I bet monks don't even wear those brown tunics anymore. There's probably a modern monk outfit that we're not aware of. You know, they wear like
monk outfits.
Steve Jobs style, like black bowler. And Yeezy, some New Balance. I could see them in New Balance.
They gotta have comfy feet. I'm sure they stand a lot.
Oh god, are we being disrespectful? Well,
I don't know. I feel like they're not going to listen to this. The monks of the world. Monks of the world, spice up your life. Every monk and every girl, spice up your life. Ooh, Bahara.
Slam to the left if you know the paper.
Side to the right, you're wearing your tunic. Oh my god.
Oh god, now I'm sorry. We'll go now. We will leave.
What we should say about our next episode, won't be delayed, we think.
We hope not.
As we get taken out by the monk mafia for this episode. Monk mafia is absolutely my band name of the week.
Swedish House Mafia, but like after they've, I don't know, been to rehab or something. The next chef that we will be discussing is one that I feel like came up a lot from listeners as well, is Ms. Anna Jones. Queen of the vegan stuff, I would say. Vegan veggie stuff too.
Mm.
We're going to do two books again for this one, aren't we? Two for one.
Yes, because I feel like you can't do just one of her books. She's an icon. I'm literally obsessed with her. I'm literally not. You know, I feel like the Anna Jones thing passed me by. And what I always say about when something passes me by, like the only way is Essex, that really passed me by. I'm always like, oh, it just must have happened when I was in Japan. And so I feel like maybe Anna Jones happened when I was in Japan.
Is this like my like cop out of any like childhood reference or thing? We didn't get that in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were in Japan. I was growing up.
I was in Japan when Anna Jones rose to fame. So I'm excited.
Me too. I feel like I haven't made many of her recipes. There's one that's like, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. It's like a leek and pappardelle one that she has on the Guardian website. It's great.
She's very famous for that. That all-in-one like lemony pasta, right? All-in-one pan lemony pasta.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Italians hate, you know, that would be the BuzzFeed clickbait article. Italians hate this one pot pasta.
I mean, one pot pasta definitely went through like a Instagram trendy bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Was that a sentence? I'm not sure.
It's late, lads.
I'm gonna go now.
I haven't had dinner.
Me neither. What are you gonna have?
I think we've got pizza because we've got to pack this house up. And
how long are you going for?
Just like to stress Mosey out, you know? She gets so stressed. My cat, this is. When
paprika. The
paprika, my cat, or bird. She gets very stressed out when the suitcases come out.
Well, that's really sad.
She'll be fine.
I know.
Neighbors.
Oh yeah, we love those guys. I know about those neighbors. They listen to us.
You love guys. Hi guys. Hi Nick and Jamie. You'll probably be getting some treat from an Anna Jones book in about a week and a half's time.
Anyway, thank you for listening, lovely listeners. We're sorry this was late. Yeah, we are on Patreon and you can look us up there and support us and get some extra episodes and things. Thank you for listening.
We're going to go, but we love you and bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.